Episode 481, May 11th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Welcome to the Robin Joe Show. Another quarantined episode here. Anything exciting happen in your week of staying at home all week, Joe?
Yeah, a couple things we should probably talk about. I had a Zoom call with former Ravens great Dennis Pitta and current Ravens great Justin Tucker. And this, we won't talk about this a long time, but I actually think that Justin Tucker is, he's certainly on the trajectory to be a Hall of Famer. You know, he's been in the league. Yeah, he's been in the league for 8 years, and he's the most accurate kicker in history. He's super long as well, and he's won a ton of games. And so getting a chance to talk to him is kind of cool because then I can say, oh, yeah, I interviewed that guy, and it's documented or whatever. This might be interesting. So Katie and I drove to La Plata, Maryland, which is about an hour away, to pick up an elliptical. Now, it started because...
From somebody's house.
So I bought a used elliptical. Now I'm not going to say how much I spent, but I spent about 25% of what it would have cost brand new. Now, these people, by the way, when we finally arrived, I almost feel bad. I'm going to go back in history and tell a little bit of a story. There was this girl that I used to work with named Charisse, and she had kids that were about 10 years older than mine. And she said, you know what, Joe, I have a bunch of games that I still have that my kids don't play anymore because they're too old for them. Let me bring them to you. And she brings in all these board games. Every single piece is in place. It's in plastic bags. Everything is treated with such respect, right? Within a week, all the stuff is missing, and it's in my house. The board's ripped in half. And it made me feel kind of shitty because it just meant that they were better people than me. That makes sense, right? Because they had the same thing that I had, and they had every piece accounted for. Well, when I went to go get this elliptical, these people, they had the owner's manual in a plastic bag along with the Allen wrench that came. You know what I mean? Things that I would never have in a million years. But the reason that I went to get this elliptical, here's why. First of all, I'm in the worst shape of my life. Okay, I need to get myself back into shape. And yeah, I actually had success getting myself in great shape. I've done it 3 times in my life when I wasn't already in shape just because of youth. When I turned 31, I started running, and I became a really good runner. As a matter of fact, I ran a sub-6-minute mile at the age of 31. So that was a big deal. When I turned 40, you were involved too. I was in a weight loss competition. I got down to like 165 or whatever. And I did that by being on the elliptical. That's what I did. And then I got myself in shape again right around 2011. It was the same thing, right, using the elliptical. So I've tried all these other things because Katie keeps this house so immaculate, right? It looks like the show, the home that people go in to look at to see whether or not they want to buy houses in the model home. It looks like the model home.
The model home.
And I didn't want to be disrespectful of that by putting an elliptical in just sitting in a living room. I didn't want to do that, right? So, you know, I mean, I joined the gym, which I can't go to anymore, even though people are protesting in Florida. Maybe I'll have an opportunity in the near future. I bought bands, right? I bought this thing that helps me do sit-ups. Like, I, you know, none of this shit is working. I know Robbie's thing is the rowing machine. I guess he had success with the rowing machine at one point. But none of it's really taken hold, right? So I'm like, all right, well, I said, Katie, I don't, you know, I have to get this. You know, I have to do this. Unless you, you know, I'm already 21 years older than you. Unless you just want me to atrophy and, you know, die or whatever. I got to get myself back into shape. And this is, I've tried other things, but I know I've had proven success with this, right? So she concedes, but she's not, she's probably not thrilled with it because, you know, I mean, it's going to be this eyesore in her house and it can't, but I get a fold up one, right? With the idea that, all right, well, we'll be able to put this thing away, right? So when I get
now,
there,
why did you buy used?
I actually bought a new one and then Amazon canceled my order because it was bought through this third party and the third party said that the price was too low. So they weren't going to sell it to me, blah, blah, blah. That's what happened.
All right. Okay.
But then
the price was too low.
I swear they said, no, we mismarked this. We're not going to sell it at this price. So then Katie found...
Did Katie demand it have to be a certain color, like your Christmas ornaments?
Yes, it had to be rose gold. It was a rose gold elliptical.
Good question, Rob.
No, but thank you, Rob. She found this thing, and I don't know how she found it, through Facebook, I believe, but whatever. I didn't. And she negotiated it down, and then I'm like, all right, well, we'll just go, and I borrowed my buddy's truck, and then we went to go pick it up. When I saw it, I was like, oh, well, I guess it folds up. But it was already folded up. So that's how fucking big it is, right? So it's already gigantic, right? So I'm like, oh, fuck.
Did you sanitize it?
No, not really. Here's the thing. Hey, when I got there, they were in their driveway. They weren't wearing masks. So
was this couple in shape?
They were in great shape.
So they're getting rid of it because they've dominated it already.
Well, it's funny that you say that, right? Because... they were selling this thing. They go, yeah, we're retiring, right? I go, oh, I guess you don't need to worry about staying in shape anymore. I made a joke to them. And they're like, oh, no, she has a personal trainer and blah, blah, blah. No, so they're fit. They didn't get right. My joke, clearly, but whatever. But anyway, so I put it in the truck, and I got to give my wife some props. I know that she can't want this thing in the house, so I appreciate her allowing it, you know? And it's not like... You know, I'm a kept man, even though I probably am. But the fact that she's willing to make sure that this, if she's doing 90% of the work, what kind of dick am I to just shove this giant eyesore in the middle of it, right? But I will tell you this. I'm 100% going to use this thing, and I'm 100% going to get in shape. And the reason is because I can't bring this thing into the house and then not use it. You follow what I'm saying? At this point, I've really backed myself into a corner because it weighs like 200 pounds. It's gigantic. I'm like, can you imagine if also I'm not using it and clothes are hanging off of it? You know what I mean? Then that's really a fuck you to her. So
have you used it yet?
I've used it every single day that I've had it. We got it on Saturday. I used it Saturday. I used it Sunday. I used it today. I'll use it tomorrow.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, these guys, I guess they were, I don't know if they're anti-vaxxers or whatever, but they were just staying there with no masks on. They had no respect for us at all. They were like, no, we're not. And so I was just like, all right, well, fuck it. If they're not going to have masks on, I pull my mask down. I put my shit in the... I know people are going to get pissed or whatever, but...
So you're telling me you bought this thing. You never sprayed it down at any point and cleaned it, wiped it off?
No, never did.
Because you would just do that without Corona.
No, they literally, you could tell they respected the shit out of it. I guarantee it was wiped down before we grabbed it. I wasn't worried about that. There wasn't one speck of dust on it. I'm telling you, there wasn't a molecule of dust on this. So, hey.
Okay, but they could have, I mean, when they carried it out, I whatever.
People are guessing the price in chat. Let me, I think this was the price. It was either.
Hold on. I want to guess.
I wasn't going to say it out loud. It's going to make me seem a certain way, but hold on. Hey, Katie.
He said about a quarter of the price you would pay for a new one.
Right. Hold on. The price I'm just going to type it. Was the price on the elliptical, was it this or was it $100 more than that?
That was that.
It was that. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Thanks, babe.
What brand, Joe?
It's a Nordic track.
So those are what, 1200 brand new?
I think, yeah. Say $300.
They're guessing right now. Thanks, babe.
Yeah. I'm going to say 350.
Damn, good job. 375. I'm going to give it to you, Robbie. The closest
well done,
without
Robbie.
Going over. Yeah. 375. And Katie got him down from I think 400 was the original asking price. Katie goes, how about 250? He goes, nah, I just won't sell it then. By the way, I find myself doing that. Have you ever had a yard sale before?
It's been forever, but nothing recently.
So I'll tell you two yard sale stories.
I participated in a yard sale at your old house, Joe, one time.
Huh. Did you have stuff you were trying to get rid of?
I did. I had a couple things in there.
So did you sell them?
I did.
You're at a
this
yard
sale. This is probably the worst time ever for a yard sale.
Yeah, I don't think you could have a yard sale right now. So I remember you're selling these things and they're, you know, and you're like, all right, here's this thing. It's worth, you know, I paid $100 for it. I'm selling it for 10 and people come and go, well, I'll give you a dollar for it. I go, no, I'll just throw it in the garbage, motherfucker. I don't, you know what I mean? Go fuck yourself. I'm not selling. I'll throw it in the garbage. Okay. So now, meanwhile, really, they're just helping you get rid of your shit. It's not like you're going to take all this stuff back in and use it. So there probably is a lot of there's real value in a yard sale if you choose to have it. Meaning if you'll use it, you probably get everything for less than 10% of what it was paid for because it's already, the list price is 10%.
When's the last time you just went around looking for yard sale?
Never. I don't do that. But
you know, that seems like something you would have done with your ex-wife.
Well, let me say this. So I think Katie and I did have a yard sale. Hold on. Hey, Katie, can you come here? So I know. Hold on, let me turn her back on. So we've had a yard sale, right? We haven't?
No, there was a community yard sale we did not participate in.
Huh, I felt like we did, but so.
What would we have sold? It was a brand new house.
Yeah, we've never really had anything that you could, she's right.
We literally had just moved in. And there was a yard sale.
So, yeah. And you're right. There isn't much that we could sell. But so the first thing is I'll throw shit in the garbage before I let somebody come over and just fucking, you know what I mean? Just screw me over by trying to get pennies on the dollar. I know that's dumb. But let me tell you something else that I did do. Back in my previous life, there was a yard sale. And basically, you're just unloading shit, right? At the end of the day, all the stuff that's left over, the neighbor kid came over. He's probably 9 years old. And I go, I'll sell all this stuff to you for a dollar. And I made him carry all of our shit over to his house.
Oh my God, were his parents pissed?
Oh, they were furious, but they didn't say a word to us about it. But you could tell the whole dynamic changed between us and them.
I don't know how neighbors like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe, it seems like this is a recurring thing for you. You texted something today that would make me think, your neighbor Ryan, who was on our Zoom call, might have a bone to pick with you.
Can I say something? I've been texting his wife, and
her name's Katie.
Katie, because she's pregnant.
Apologizing.
Kind of. I mean, why don't you tell?
Hey, Katie.
What you did, and then I'll tell you what I did.
So I don't know if this is a HIPAA violation, but my neighbor Ryan. He had something going on with him health-wise, and he's now on a all-liquid diet for 6 weeks.
Yeah. He had to go to the hospital.
He's about 8 days in, and he's on an all-liquid
diet.
And
he is, when I say he's the nicest, just such a genuinely kind, nice guy. He really is. I've never heard him say anything bad about anybody.
No, he's awesome. I love him. Right? And by the way, you know how I always say, hey, I'm going to make a new friend every year?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's my newest friend.
Right. Know, well, let's see what you did, and then we'll let everyone else decide if he is your new friend.
So I texted him.
For no reason at all, by the way. Completely just out of the blue, this popped into Joe's head to do.
Hey, before I tell you what I did, him and I were having a conversation yesterday, and the last thing he said to me, I was telling him I got an elliptical. He goes, good for you. Do you need help putting it together?
Oh, my God.
So the last thing, I never responded to that. The last thing he said to
you
me.
You ghosted him when he offered help, and he said, good for you. Anybody else, any other friend you would have would be like, fuck, you're never going to use that, you piece of shit.
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, it says, good for you. do you need help putting it together? And mine was a bitch. So he had difficulty. He wanted to help me out.
Would you ever have offered to help him put something together?
No, but I love him, so I give him cigars. I do what I can.
Uh-huh.
I do what's in my purview, right?
Okay.
Actually, you know what? What I said to him, let's take a break and we'll revisit it after the break.
Be right back.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and then six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy, he's just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
All right, so what I did was I texted. I was just sitting here thinking, you know what's awesome? That's all I sent to him. Then I went into our group chat, the Murder Mystery group chat, and I told everybody, hey, I just sent this to my neighbor. Here's what I'm doing. I told the story about him being on an all-liquid diet and blah, blah, blah. And then I said, what's going to happen is when he responds, I'm going to say solid food, right? So I texted him, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know what's awesome? And then he said, what? Finally, and then I said solid food, right? So obviously I'm fucking with him, but I do that because I love him, not because...
But that's just so, you know, rude.
But what our friend said is, God, wouldn't it be funny if he didn't respond?
Yeah, so
and
I immediately...
I was sitting here stressed, right?
So I immediately texted his wife and was like, let me tell you something. Go find Ryan and tell him not to respond to Joe's text. I want Joe to think that Ryan is mad. Now, she wasn't able to pull it off, but I want you to know that I was also kind of inadvertently trying to tell her, hey, like, I know he's an ass, like, because I don't want him to be like, oh, this is what Joe just said, and then her be like, I don't like that guy, you know?
No. I mean, maybe. Well, I don't know. I think they love me, right?
Well, hold on, Joe. When you first said this in our group text, maybe I didn't read it, but I, for whatever reason, was under the impression that he was just going to just for a week or two, he couldn't eat solid food.
Oh, no.
Told us 6 weeks. Now, that seems...
No, that 6 months.
Like, 6 months?
Is it 6 months?
6 weeks.
Oh, 6 weeks of a liquid diet.
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks of a liquid diet, but he can... I mean, if he ever... He's going to eat a steak, like, once a year.
Yeah, he can't... Like, he has to, like, cut red meat out for, like, ever. It's really sad.
So if I ever, like, you know, lose my legs in a bad comedy kumite accident, you're going to... You know, just text me. You know what I was thinking about today that's really awesome?
Walking. Yeah. Standing upright. Having shoes. Yeah, no, I gotcha. No, everything within, you know, by the way, he's 8 days into it.
Well, one thing I do appreciate a little bit, I can't even believe I'm admitting this, but like I have different groups of friends and I act a little bit differently in each of those groups of friends. Like I have friends who I say the most horrible things to and would never repeat it in front of any other group of friends. And then I have another group of friends who all the girls do are just build each other up and tell each other how wonderful they are and stuff. So I have to do that there or else I'm a dick. But Joe's consistent. No matter who you are, he's going to shit on you. And that is his way of showing love.
It is. And maybe it's a flaw. I don't know. But I've said that before in that if I don't like you, I will shit on you. But if I love you, then I will also shit on you. Let me tell a quick story today. Justin Schlegel.
Hold on, real quick. Did he get? Have you talked to him? Since
No, we've had a bunch of conversations.
I think you need to bring him a smoothie.
Well, I've already told him that I'm going to bring him a milkshake, which is probably what he wants.
You're going to bring him a milkshake?
No, but I'll probably ask you to grab him one while you're.
Yeah, I figured.
Well,
hold on. What do you eat after six? Like, what's your first meal back? Because you can't just dive back into.
Yeah, you're right.
Honestly, I bet anything tastes good to him. Then I don't know, mac and cheese,
well, it'll
French
taste
fries.
Good, but like your system probably can't handle it. I would imagine you'd have to ease back into something.
Right, like bland foods.
Like
rice. Yeah, rice and
it?
Bread. And
move up to, yeah, God, bread is so good.
We're acting like doctors here. Who the fuck knows?
So Justin Schlegel, he took this tweet down. Maybe they resolved it. But he tweeted out, hey, Quicken Loans, you've now called me 3 straight days, you know, as a spam call. It's not like I have a number one a morning radio show that I can expose, blah, blah, blah. So basically he's like, listen, quit calling me or I'm going to fuck you up, right? This is Quicken Loans. And so this is a guy, again, one of my very best friends. I immediately tweeted, in their defense, you appear to be desperate for cash. So, but yeah, so, you know, it's, I try to be consistent, right? Let me come at you because I care about you. But then again, you're right.
Okay, I don't think those are similar stories. We know that Justin isn't desperate for cash.
Oh, I
see.
And
you know that Ryan can't
sell
food.
Yeah, where is the parallel there?
I guess I was just saying
it's just another story where you're a dick. It's
well,
a different
that's the
scenario.
Right, that's the point. It's like, yeah, I'm a dick, but, you know, these are people that I care about. That's not that horrible, right? What I did to Ryan, is that horrible?
I mean, it's not that it's horrible. It's just... he's not getting that from his other friends. So the other friends are not randomly texting him like, hey, you know what would be great right now? A burger.
I don't know. Yeah, it is funny because he was in a like a group text with his other friends, and they were having some contest about whether or not this guy could do like 500 push-ups in a – remember that?
Yeah.
And they were cheering each other on and stuff.
God, I can't believe he hasn't invited you into that group yet.
Yeah, I get in there and go, fucking dick.
How much money would you take for you to have to do that 6 weeks with just without solid food?
God. Oh, let me think.
$10,000.
I mean, you could get healthy. It's like a little detox. I mean,
yeah.
So if you're doing it correctly, obviously.
But 6 weeks is...
6 weeks is so long.
And here's the deal. Like, I'm sure that the reason he's on a liquid diet, there's some type of issue if he does eat. So he has like, he's thinking to himself, okay, well, obviously, what's the result of me eating solid food? But if we are just eating a liquid diet because we're being paid money, it's going to need to be a lot more money, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Because
no, it's easy for him to stick to it because he
right,
has
exactly.
His health is
thank
at
you.
Stake.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And it still might suck, but he's like, well, I'm not going to tear out my intestinal lining just to have a
right.
5 guys.
Exactly.
But I would certainly say, God, is it worth the 10 grand to. Because 10 grand, I guess I probably would, but you're right around the place.
Grand would be hard for me to do. I just don't, it's
it'd
just not,
so
a, it's
hard.
Just not enough. Yeah. I'd have to spend 5 grand on.
Now,
what'd you say, Rob?
You're on a liquid diet. Coffee?
True. He's saying you already have issues. You're with your IBS right now, so you'd be just nonstop drinking coffee in every form.
God, speaking of falling apart. Rob, you saw it. Did you see what I pulled out of my ear today?
I saw that. I hoped it was a joke, but I've never seen anything that disgusting in my life.
Yeah.
And he also
Alex Smith's leg.
Rob, here's the kicker. He also just got his ears cleaned out like a month ago.
It wasn't a month ago, but it was fairly recently.
It was this year.
But here's the thing.
What do you mean, get your ear? There's someone, a professional
listen,
cleans out your ears?
Not a professional. So I have ears. I think my father has the same ears. My father used to. You know this? My father used to stick pencils in his ears and break the lead off.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, if he's in chat, he'll tell you that. He used to break off pencil lead in his ear, and then he ended up going deaf. I don't know. Forget it. That's his story to tell. But anyway.
I have the same problem.
You have, okay, right. So we have, the wax doesn't like naturally expel from our ears.
You also, I never seen you put a Q-tip in there.
I can't.
Hmm.
I mean, I have to dig. So
no, what I mean, every day, if you did it every day.
Okay, so there's these little like brushes. You've seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has a scoop
yep.
in them. That's what I need to use in order to get my ear canal or whatever.
Or you get it cleaned out, and then from that point on, you just upkeep.
Yeah.
I Q-tip every day.
Yes, yeah. I do too.
I'm telling you, I don't have an ear that a Q-tip works with.
Always an excuse.
No, I'm serious. It's correct. True. There's something about the way our earwax excretes that it doesn't come out naturally. And I've
well, there goes the idea of me having sex tonight. Continue.
I've screwed up my ear using a Q-tip before. I've literally pushed all that debris down into my eardrum, and I had to go to the doctor to get it out.
Yeah, there isn't like a wax in there. It's a dry. It's not, yeah, like it, a, yeah, it's a different thing.
I'm just shocked you guys haven't gone to an ENT to get like something to resolve this.
Well, let me tell you. So, and there's a million things that I guarantee you Robbie's tried too, but let me tell you what I used to do. I used to have a water pick. I don't even know if they make those anymore. And there's this reservoir that you could set, and I would fill it up with warm water, and you put vinegar in it because it'll give
vinegar.
You an ear infection otherwise. And I would water pick this shit out of my ear, and those things that you saw, they would just pop, fall out of my ear, like, you know, cockroaches or whatever. Then, maybe, it was probably January, February, Katie's right, I'm like, I got an ear infection, it hurts when I swallow, and I went, and they go, no, it's not an ear infection, you just have a boulder in your ear, and so,
yes.
They had some, they put this stuff in my ear to soften it, they had to do it three times until finally they were able to put this thing, and it was embarrassing because the nurse I had, you know, was cute, and I didn't want her to see what was going to come out of my ear, and then next thing you know, it popped right out of there.
How long into your relationship with Katie, Joe, was it before you would be comfortable to show her what you put, what you took out of your ear today?
Today. So
she had to be married, basically.
She didn't know about this until just recently. I didn't divulge that. She probably wouldn't have married me, so I could.
I feel like I false have been married, and yeah, I got married under false pretenses. This is grounds for an annulment. Still within a year.
Yeah, well, you better hurry because we only got a couple weeks.
Like on your first date, if he just said, what was the sentence you just said, Robbie? We have issues with the way our earwax secretes.
Excretes, yeah. I would never say that. I wouldn't even said that now, right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad he told me before our 1 year anniversary.
Robbie, does your girlfriend know about your earwax?
No.
Oh.
That has not come up in conversation.
Good. Don't tell her. Keep it a secret. Don't let it out there. Yeah, when I was a little
kid. I'm
glad
you're getting in shape. Katie, have you noticed the difference in Joe now that he's an elliptical maniac? The sex drive going up?
Today's only the third night.
Yeah, it's the third day. I don't want to lie and say, he's done it all 3 days. So that's pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah, I've been pretty. Again, I told them the whole reason why I have to be diligent, which
And look, I'm not a tyrant. I'm not out here.
Did
like...
I represent her as a tyrant? Did I do that?
No, not at all. I mean, anytime you want to add something to the house that's, I mean, if you don't have a gym, it's going into a place in your house
where right.
you'd have to ask permission if you can put it there. You couldn't just buy a friggin' desk and put it in the middle of
We don't
the room
have a huge house. Yeah. We don't have a massive house. We don't have an extra room where we could put, you know, gym equipment. The garage obviously wouldn't work for that because he wants to be able to, like, you know, look at the TV or whatever, which is fine. I get it. So it fits fine. I'm not horrified by it. As long as he uses it, then yeah, that's great.
No, you're right. And I know that to be the rule, but I was telling them, and I can't remember if we talked about this or not. When you saw it folded up,
yeah,
were you like,
this yeah, I was like, this thing is so fucking big.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
This thing is way bigger than I thought, but it is what it is. I don't care that much.
I'll bet it weighs over 200 pounds.
All right.
And when you unfold it, it's more than 6 feet long.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's huge.
Moving on. Did you guys do anything for Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to my brother and sister-in-law's and ordered food and picked up food, and we just kind of all hung out and ate outside.
Yep, we hung out.
What did you do?
I went to visit my mom. We went on a walk in this park near her house by the water. It was pretty, it was a real nice day. So saw some other people out there. It seemed like a normal day, which was cool.
Yeah.
Did you hug her?
You know, I did. You know, cause when I first, it was her idea to come over and go for a walk. And then she goes, yeah, just come to my house and then you can drive, I'll sit in your back seat and wear a mask. I was like, no, that sounds stupid. You're not doing that. So if you want to wear a mask, it's fine, but you're not going to sit in the back seat. So, and then when I saw her, when I knocked on the door, I'm like, I just opened the door. Should I wear a mask? He goes, no. And then I'm like, all right, well, if we're not wearing a mask now, then what's the point? So, and then I just instinctively gave her a hug. I mean, I didn't give her a kiss on the cheek or anything, but it just seemed like the thing to do.
Yeah. I saw my parents yesterday. I didn't hug them. I stayed far away from them, even though my father kept trying to push the boundaries. Because it started out, I was like, hey, we'll talk to you through the window. He's like, well, why don't you stand in the doorway? Well, why don't you sit down? He's handing me shit. You know what I mean? Like, he was, it's almost like, you know, he wanted to break the barrier so then I wouldn't have to worry about it. But I'm like, this is not a smart thing to do.
Well,
so,
with them, it's a little different. Like, you know, and my dad is... It has been working still, so that's the only reason that I think my parents and everybody haven't been like seeing each other as often as we normally do. But you know, Aunt Tish is sick, so we just try to be careful.
Yeah, and we really tried to treat that with respect, in spite of my father trying to do everything that he could to not allow that distance to occur.
Now, Robbie, you told me before the show that Gramps has finally figured out Cash App.
Yeah, thank God he successfully now. By himself, cashing out his money and sending it to the bank.
Awesome. Successful week in technology for Gramps.
Hey, I should say one thing about the trip to my in-laws, okay? So we go there, and I'm like, oh, it'd be interesting for me to tell that story about shitting in that model home. Maybe I should tell that, right? It's a funny story, right? I mean, what else? The only thing that's happened. We've been sitting in our house. What are we going to talk about? So I have to tell the things that have occurred to me, right? And that occurred. So,
did you wait for something to segue into, or did you just say,
no,
"Hey guys, I
waited until we were done eating."
Smart,
you know, because I definitely didn't want that to, you know. Can you believe Joe told that story? And so I started telling the story, and the further we got into the story, Frank kept turning his seat until he was facing the opposite direction. He couldn't look at me. He's so disgusted by it. His chair started and then he went sideways and then eventually.
I can't hear you.
I couldn't see the whites of his eyes anymore.
Did you tell a more clean version of it to them than you did on our show?
I'm trying to think what would be. What do you mean? Because I left nothing out.
You could, you know, I had to go number.
Oh, I didn't
two,
say shit. Right.
Know,
I didn't.
There was no toilet. You know, you could have softened it a little bit.
Well, I didn't say shit. But I told the part about, you know, there being a little bit on the side of the bowl. You know, I've told the most disgusting parts, right?
Is that necessary to the story? I mean, I know it on the show it's necessary, but there on Mother's Day.
Yeah, maybe not. But, I mean, why would I only tell him half the story? If you're going to hear it, I'm going to tell the whole story.
So Frank did not appreciate the hilarity of the story.
Well, it's weird because
hello,
Frank... Definitely told a story a little bit later. I guess he kind of came around about when he used to be like, he used to check meters for BG&E, right? That's what he used to do. And one time he said, yeah, he had an emergency. He had to shit in this lady's house. And a little bit later, she's like, oh, sir, can you come in here? So, you know, he had to walk back in the house that he shit in. So he actually had a similar story, but they probably had toilet paper. That was probably a big difference.
Yeah, that does change the story completely.
That's by far the worst experience I've ever had where I've had to shit and there not be toilet paper. That's happened to me before. But, like, if I was – I've never had a circumstance in my own home where I go to shit and there's no toilet paper, and then I would just get up and get in the shower, which I've done before.
Well, I'm trying to think how could that story have been made worse? I guess there could have been another couple that was looking at the house, and right after you stepped out, the wife was like, hey, let's look at the bathroom.
Yeah, yes, right, sees me as I go through. Yeah. But that couldn't happen in today's world.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, it was tough enough to just have people that could have let us into the house, which we never got anywhere near.
Well, we did our Zoom show, I guess, was it last week or was it? I've already forgotten.
It's 2 weeks ago, right, Randy?
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
All right, well, we're going to do one again. We don't have a date exactly, but I think the next 2-3 weeks, more than likely. So keep your eyes posted for that. And if anybody wants to lobby to be on it, please state your case.
Well, I don't want to do it without Michael Chamberlain. So find out if he's willing to do it first. And if he's not, we just won't do it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, hopefully his schedule will allow it. My schedule is a little busier because I actually have a comedy gig this week.
Where? Remember, like,
I talked about the comedy Kumite last week, another loss. But someone that was watching, an audience member that was watching the Kumite, wanted to book us for his corporate Zoom lunch thing. So the improv set that up. So I was one of the four that he picked out of the eight to do the show. So I guess that makes it my most successful Kumite ever because I got a gig out of it. So
yeah, you also won around
noon.
You won a round and you also got a gig out of it. By far your most successful.
Yeah, huge, big successful. So you get to do a 12 noon Zoom corporate comedy gig. That's what we're doing in this new world. We have had some clubs open up. A club in Utah has opened up this past weekend at 65% capacity. They actually, not only do they open up, they had their open mic night. I mean, that's really opening up if you're actually having the open mic as well. And then there's a club in Arizona that I saw, a girl I know on Twitter is working there in June. So I guess different pockets of the country, things are opening up in comedy world slowly but surely.
I wonder if that Utah has a little bit to do with their faith, like God will protect. I'm not kidding. I know that's they're like, oh, we'll. I'm not saying anything about the science or anything, but I wonder how much that has to do with the fact that they're like, we're going to do what we want to do.
I don't know. The guy, one of the guys that was working the week, Bent Washburn, is a friend of mine. He lives here in the D.C. area. He's from Utah, but he said they were 90 people a show, which is the capacity for their new social distancing comedy.
And they're sitting. Oh, I see. So they're going to continue to social distance, right? Good. They'll be respectful of that.
Exactly.
But the people that came together get to sit together, I assume.
Yes. If you can only have a party of four, but if you are together, you can sit together. But you couldn't do like a party of eight together. You have to do two separate parties of four.
What does it normally seat?
I want to say it's in the 200s.
All right. Yeah. And then 90. So yeah, I guess. Basically,
I don't know exactly. Maybe 175, 200, something like that. But hey, I mean, I guess it's better than losing money, so it's a start. My whole thing is if places do this and it seems to be fine, it'll give other places, you know, the courage to do it. And then slowly but surely, maybe, you know, and no, we're not going to have any time soon here in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. We don't seem to be close to that, but in the rest of the country, possibly. Speaking of Utah, my dry bar comedy special now, they're now saying July, so it's getting frustrating. So, yeah, she said that's just the new updated schedule. Not sure if it has anything to do with COVID, but, you know, no one that recorded the same weekend I have, there's no one else has had a special out yet. So a little frustrating, but I don't know. So I'm just eager to, yeah, I'm just looking forward to being able to watch it and see it and just have something to promote comedy.
Yeah.
But,
and of course it's a lot.
I just have to wait.
Yeah. It's different for you and I, and I get it. Right. I mean, I'm not going to get into this again. We got into it, especially if you're a patron, you can hear pretty much as raw as we are, as we can be about this subject. But I mean, at some point, you know, you have to earn, right? And so, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we should always be questioning whatever it is. We should be questioning it so we can determine what's the smartest thing to do, taking everything into consideration. And, you know, dude, I worry about you a little bit, right? Because, you know, what about the murder mystery? You know, what if there's no place left for us to perform?
Oh, you know, Brightbox, which is one of our best venues. I mean, you know, I was actually going to text the group and email the people there. They're supposed to be having their 7-year anniversary here, I think, on May 15th. So they obviously haven't had any shows, and I don't know what the future holds, but that would be a blow, not just financially if they close, but just that's one of our favorite places to go perform. It would be really sad if they can't, you know, survive this.
There is a place where the dominoes stop falling, right? I mean, obviously performers can't work, and then the club can't generate revenue, so those employees are also gone. You don't know. Are they going to have to go find something else to do? Will they be available when this opens back up? What about the landlord? Can they survive without having revenue coming in from their tenants? Would that mean that they would be in jeopardy? You know, I mean,
they own the building.
Brightbox owns
the owner of Brightbox owns that whole building.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. So that person gets to choose, but also you know, that doesn't mean there still aren't consequences, right? I mean, what happens to the restaurants that are in there that maybe they're, I don't know if they're open or closed or whatever. Cause you know, what are there 20 shops in there? Well, if that guy goes without the revenue from all those shops, maybe you'd have to sell. I mean, again, I'm just saying that there is an end domino. And if this guy is financially secure enough that he can just open everything back up at the end of this, and if the people that were waitressing and bartending and busing and cooking can just walk back into this old job because they're have financial independence or collecting unemployment or whatever, good. I mean, you know what I mean? And if these, like, I use Rob as an example. What if he couldn't survive this doing comedy and he had to go get himself a job, right? Because there's no revenue and then he's not available. Then the murder mystery isn't, you know what I mean? That this is a reality of it. I don't want to, I mean, we've already gone too far, but.
No, it is a reality. Now, I'm still waiting on the Maryland unemployment. It's, you know, there's a Facebook page that I found that people just complaining and posting updates. So the status that I'm at right now isn't, you know, it says active $176 a week, which is just, I found out, just their placeholder, what you get until they review your information. Plus that's plus you get an extra $600 from the federal government. But I'm still waiting for that to happen. If it does happen, you know, then I would get a back pay starting, you know, first week of April. So I'd have, you know, 5 weeks already combined. So, you know, that would ease all my financial concerns in the meantime. But going forward from this, I mean, the reason I want the dry bar thing to come out is not because I'm going to make any money off that right away, but it will open doors for other gigs, is provided that there are other gigs for their
to be
open.
Exactly.
They have to exist. In other news, though, somebody has decided to open a business, a new business, in these trying times. Chris Restivo asked me to like his new Facebook page, CNM Party Event Planning.
What's up, man?
If I'm not mistaken, CNM Party Planning is already, they've already out of business, right?
Well,
they've already closed their doors.
Posting that, he goes, due to the COVID-19 virus, we are temporarily closed and will reopen after the lockout is over.
So he opened it for a day, and then I wonder what happened in that day.
I don't know. I guess he just learned about it. It's also funny that the I think he's doing it with a friend. I'm guessing the C is for Chris. I don't know what the M is for. But it's CNM, Party Event Planning. His logo, what do you think is on his logo in terms of lettering?
I guess C and an M, right?
Nope, just a C.
Yeah, that would be weird.
It's like AT&T is just A whenever they have all their logo.
That would be weird that both the business was a bad idea and also the logo was a bad idea. That's strange that would be the case.
What do you think, what skills do you think Chris possesses that would allow him to throw a good party?
Well, we know one party that he did throw, and there was only three people there, and they were actually...
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't want to do it. There was actually five. Chris himself, Chris's dad, you, yes. Eric Woodworth, Justin Schlegel. There were five people there.
Yeah, that was good to go to a strip club, which in theory should be easier than to just go to some random place.
And they're all dudes, too, which makes for the worst party ever, right? I mean, don't you want girls at a party?
I would think so, yeah. But good luck, Chris. I'm sure it's another successful venture.
Hey, so if you saw the Zoom call, and I'm not gonna give away too much because it's for Patreons, but Chris had an envelope, and in that envelope was the shirt. Okay, so let me go back. I ordered a shirt from Chris. He sent it to me. It was electric yellow green. And the picture was about one half the size of what he had represented it to be. Okay. So I said, Chris, what the hell? He goes, that was a joke. By the way, that was last year. Matter of fact, I have a picture of Katie in it, and I can look at the date on that picture and I can tell you exactly how long ago it was. If you don't mind, I'm going to do that real quick here. Let me see. So that was, well, I'm going back pretty far. So here it is. The date on that was August 21st, 2019. So we're getting...
Joe is a fucking douchebag.
We're getting near a year away from me getting that shirt. That was horrible, okay?
He's worse at getting you this shirt than Katie is at writing her thank you notes.
They're all out, by the way. The last one to go was Mac Bergson, which is in my handwriting. Mac,
I got to address that, by the way. That came up in chat.
Anyway, so Chris showed an envelope that contained my shirt. Now, normally, I would say you're full of shit. There's nothing in there. But I had to hedge because I think he had a shirt in there. So I would call him a liar and then he would pull the shirt out. So I never did that. But it did look kind of thin. I go, well, show it to me. And sure enough, he pulled the shirt out of that bag. How long ago was that Zoom call, Robbie?
A couple weeks ago.
I don't have that shirt. I don't have it. That shirt's not in my house. I don't possess it.
Well, he's been opening and closing a business in the last 2 weeks. It's very stressful times, Joe.
Well, what's interesting is that shirt, it's not like he has countless orders for that shirt and it's earmarked for something else and he just happened to show it to me. I promise you, I'm the only person that's ever ordered that shirt. I'd bet my life on it.
Understand the timeline for Chris. When he gets an order in, it takes 3 months to process it, then 3 months to make it, and then it's made incorrectly, so it's another 3 months of processing, another 2 months to make it, then there's another month to put it in an envelope, then another month to take it to the post office. So things move slowly.
Yeah, well, I'd like to have – I would wear it, and Katie would wear hers, so we'd like adorable, you know, couples outfit. But I don't have
it. You would think in these trying economic times, he would want people out there doing free advertising by wearing his shirts, proudly wearing his five-plated clothing shirts.
No. So we only have about 15 minutes left. We should probably take a break. But what do you want to talk about? I was on a Zoom call with Justin Tucker and Dennis Pitta. Or do you want to talk about our recent television watching? I saw an awesome show that isn't Dave, which everybody needs to see. I watched it on Netflix.
Right. Well, I want to talk about... How about everything? Because I also want to talk about Robbie's haircut situation. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery, a wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Next performance, June 20th at Jam and Java, Vienna. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Can I tell you what they said in chat about the thank you card?
Yes.
Matt Colby said he wanted to thank Katie for the card, and he wrote, "And Joe, you have pretty decent penmanship, as I'm assuming you wrote the address." And I pointed out, no, Mac was the only one who Joe actually wrote the address on. And then Mez's response was, "Wow, I take that back. Katie has worse penmanship than I would have guessed."
That's funny. Katie has good penmanship, but yeah, wait till you see mine. I'm interested in Mac describing what it looks like when it arrives. It's embarrassing. I'm being honest. It's embarrassing.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, Robbie said there's an issue with his, is it a hairdresser, a barber? How would you define this person?
She is a hairdresser, I guess you would call her, but she's pretty much out of that business. Very quickly, I had this woman cut my hair one time. It's very stressful for me to find a new person to cut my hair, find a new dentist, anything. I got to find a new person. It's stressful for me. But
why do you keep having to find new people?
Well, various reasons. You know, we had the same woman cut our hair. Remember that woman, Rob?
I do, yeah.
The racist?
Yes, the racist. Yep. Anyway, so I went to the shop one day near my house, tried it out. This girl did such a great job on my hair. Excuse me, woman. And I got so many compliments on my haircut, I said, I have to go back to her. Next time I went back, they said, she doesn't work here anymore. I was like, ugh. But I had her business card, and it had her cell number on it. So I called her, and I told her, I complimented her. I told her how many compliments I got on my hair and what great job she did. Could I please?
Who complimented you, your girlfriend and your friend Phil?
My coworkers, a lot of people did. Anyway, the point is that I asked her if there was any way that I could still have her cut my hair. She said, sure, you can come to my house and I'll cut your hair. Great. So I've been going to this girl for almost 3 years now. And I knew she was completely out of this business, and I'm her only customer.
Wait a minute. She was only cutting your hair and no one else.
At this point, she got to a point where I'm literally her only customer for hair cutting because she has another job she has now.
And you would go to her house?
I would go to her house, and she would always hint that her husband's going to be getting a new job and they're going to move and this and that. So I know
she doesn't
want to
cut your hair. Got it.
She does not want to cut my hair anymore.
Do you wear your NRA hat when you go over there?
No.
Do you wear your I Fingered the Killer shirt?
No.
Do you bring a playlist?
No. I go over there. I'm very nice. I pet her dog. Everything's wonderful. Anyway, so when this whole COVID-19 thing came up, our appointment was coming up in a few days, and I said, hey, obviously we're going to move this thing. Can we move it a month? Maybe we can move it until, you know, beginning of May. She said, sure, no problem. Good idea. So when May came around, I didn't even get a chance to text her. She goes, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to not cut your hair, and here's somebody if you need to call somebody. It's like, well, no, let's just move it another couple months. And she goes, I don't feel comfortable making an appointment at this time. So I was like, okay, she's getting rid of me. I didn't text her back.
I can't wait till.
I mean, she's the only one that was relieved that this whole thing happened.
Yes.
Yes, she's rooting for the pandemic so yes. She can. Yeah, by the way, finally. Robbie can be kind of sticky in these situations. You know what I mean?
You're right. I told you I don't like switching. I like when I find somebody, I want to stick with them.
I drive an hour to see the same person.
Yeah,
by the way,
nuts.
That place, I don't. How it's going to survive.
Have you gotten your hair cut or dyed, Rob?
Nope, not at all.
So what do you have, just long, bushy hair right now? Gray hair?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've posted some photos, but normally I'm in a hat, but maybe I'll post a photo and we can post it online.
Yeah, Katie cut my hair the other day. I was very grateful. I think I told you. Actually, I said it on the Zoom call with those guys because Dennis Pitta and Justin Tucker are both like really good-looking guys. I don't know if we talked about this. Kirk McEwen, who I do my pregame with, I didn't hear it live, but apparently he said I wasn't attractive on the show. Okay. And of course, people then messaged me, oh my God, Kirk would just said, you know, so I never addressed it on the Zoom call, but the next day I filled in for Kirk and I was like, hey, he called me ugly and they replayed it. He didn't really. Here's what he said. He goes, oh, and on the call, we're going to have Dennis Pitta, very handsome man, Justin Tucker, another very handsome man, Joe Robinson, meh. You know, that's what he said, okay?
That's fair.
That's fair, right. Once I heard that, I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, I'm not as good looking as those guys. But when I did get on there, neither one of them had a haircut. So, and Dennis Pitta was wearing a hat. That's how bad. He took it off a couple times to, you know, run his fingers through his beautiful hair. It was pretty long.
His mane.
Yeah.
But when you're like good looking like that and like in good shape, I mean, you can just shave your head. You can do anything and you're still going to be good looking.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, even when his hair was super long, Dennis Pitt, I'm like, he still looks the same. He looks, he's shaved. He looks good.
Like yeah, Brooks Koepka, the golfer, like his girlfriend or fiance shaved his head and you know, it would look horrible, except he's a really good looking guy. So it's just like, oh, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Benchwarmer said in chat, hopefully chestnut brown hair dye will survive. He's worried that the color that you use will no longer be available.
That is a throwback to Eric the Actor.
So I
thought about getting into some hair dye and doing that myself.
Dyeing your own hair?
I don't. When I did the Kumite gig, I didn't have a hat on, and I probably won't for this Wednesday. So I'll try to do something with my hair.
Well, I used Just for Men on my beard, right? Medium brown. What's the harm?
Yeah, no, I've used that before.
Yeah, just go in there, medium brown that shit. You're good.
I don't really care about the gray. It's just it's the cut. I think that's the issue.
I asked Justin Tucker, and I assume most people that will listen to us know who Justin Tucker is, but he's a kicker for the Ravens. And I asked him, because I've always thought this, right? It's like, is there anybody that ever played in the NFL at any position that I could beat up? I'm pretty sure the answer is no.
You mean today, 51-year-old Joe?
No, I don't think there's any point in my life
that
I could have beaten up anybody that's ever. I know there's a couple tiny little Zendejas. Remember those? The Zendejas?
No, they would have taken.
But yeah, right. I mean, they're still world class athletes. Like, they'd be playing soccer instead. You know, what am I supposed to do?
They also just, you know, kicking in the NFL, most people would be afraid of just seeing guys that big run at you.
Right. And they're able to.
They have that toughness that you don't have.
Yeah, and every once in a while, somebody will break one free, and Justin Tucker has to go tackle somebody, and he's done it.
Right.
You know, I remember a couple times seeing, I can't remember what Redskins punter it was, but he laying out people a couple times, right? You know, obviously I'm not going to beat up Sebastian Janikowski, but if I got a shot at anybody, it would be a kicker or a punter. And, of course, Justin Tucker's like, no, Sam Cook, who's the punter for the Ravens, it beat the hell out of me. That was the point that I was making, based on the fact that every other position is either a super world-class athlete or a giant person, right? So you either got an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, they're gigantic, even if you're the nose tackle, right? You're also going to be really athletic if you're playing NFL football.
I don't think there's any professional athlete in any sport that you could beat up at any time in your life.
No, that's not true. There's a lot of female gymnasts who I could just mow through.
No, they would pummel you.
I think the Redskins punter you were referring to was Sav Rocca. I remember I wanted to get him on the show.
I wish you had.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know somebody who played in the NFL who you could beat up, probably. Maybe not.
Who?
George Plimpton.
Oh, yeah. No, I could. You're right. George Plimpton's a total pussy. Matter of fact, if you know who George Plimpton is, Rob, check out. He's in Good Will Hunting.
I remember.
He's one of the early therapists that gets run off by the Matt Damon character, Will Hunting, because he calls him gay. But anyway, but my question to that was to Justin Tucker. And I felt like he didn't get what I was asking. You know, because I think he was like, well, I get a couple shots in, you know, blah, blah. I go, no, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if there's anybody that you can beat up. Because I know there's nobody that I can beat up. And the only people that I would have a shot at not getting killed by is a kicker. And you're a kicker. Did you understand it?
I got it.
Yeah. But I think these guys are, your line of questioning is so different than their normal questions they get on it every day in these kind of situations.
But yes, Dennis Pitta was like, yeah, answer the question. Tell he wanted to know.
Well, Dennis has known you on the radio in Eddie Rock, so he's a little more familiar with who you are as a person.
That was the interesting dynamic of that Zoom call, is Pitta was getting you, and he kept busting Justin Tucker's balls the whole time. The dynamic between those two guys was the most interesting thing about that call.
Yeah, you could tell they were friends, but you could also tell that he thought Justin Tucker was a goof.
Yes.
And then Justin Tucker did tell a story.
Well, that's what you want, though, on these.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And Justin Tucker did tell a story, and it was like, where's he fucking going with this, right? And then Dennis Pitta was like, yeah, that's one of the things we used to laugh about, that exact thing that he just did where he made no sense whatsoever. You don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
All right, let's wrap this up. Any other things? Any TV recommendations?
I do have one. Check out Unorthodox. That was a great fucking show that I watched on Netflix. I'd never heard of it. You saw it, Robbie?
I watched the whole thing. Yeah.
God, well, how great was it?
Yeah, it was really, really interesting.
Man, it was so great. God, Robbie watches everything. There's nothing that you can mention that he hasn't seen.
I haven't seen Dave.
Yeah, you really got to see Dave. Dave is so great. I also saw Afterlife, and Afterlife sucks. It really does. and let me just tell you what Afterlife is. I'll give you the premise. It's a Ricky Gervais vehicle, And the premise is that his wife dies, so he gives up on life. And what he does is he does whatever he wants. He says whatever he wants to people, whatever he's thinking, he says. And then if it gets too much, he'll just kill himself. You follow what I'm saying? Like, if that's too gets too burdensome, he'll just be like, all right, well, then I'll just end my life. So that's the premise. And it's a little darker version of, like, Office Space when he gets hypnotized to, you know, to right. not give a shit. And then the person who's doing the hypnosis dies, and then he's never able to get out of it. And then you get to see that person navigate life. Okay. It's similar to that, but then it just turned into this schmaltzy, this is 40. He's having deep conversations with every single person. It's this lady that's sitting on a bench in the cemetery, or this person at work, or his brother-in-law's kid, nonstop. He's sitting there just figuring out the meaning of life over this, which is to be kind and to care about people, whatever. And they're playing this, you know, slow, sympathetic music behind it, and people are tearing up. And God, I just like, God, what is this horseshit? So I'm definitely not going to watch season two. And I would not.
Robbie, you've seen both seasons of this?
Yeah. It has a handful of really genuinely funny moments, but Joe's right. He gets so caught up in the sentimentality, and it's just, boy, you don't want to watch season two. It's unbearable.
Yeah, I won't. Did you not like it? Because I know you're a big Ricky Gervais fan, and I know that kind of makes you bend towards wanting to like it.
I got a little, like, rolling my eyes towards, you know, the end when, you know, he learns the lesson and it becomes all about him going on and on about his dead wife. It's like,
and
okay.
It was almost an entire episode. Every yes. single next conversation was this epiphany where he's realizing, I mean, it's, God.
But there were some really, really funny moments in there.
But you had
And I stayed with the whole thing.
Yeah, there were really funny moments. If there's 10 episodes... Around episode 7, it's complete shit.
I agree with Joe on this.
I just want to say, before we go, let's just give a shout-out to the fabulous life and career of Jerry Stiller. Died today. I guess most famously known as Frank Costanza on Seinfeld.
Yeah, and he was... I was surprised to hear... Like, they said the amount of episodes that there were of Seinfeld and the amount of episodes that he was in, and it was like 20%. The number was so much smaller than I thought... It just goes to show you what a scene stealer he was, because I just remember so much about him getting into a fist fight with Elaine at the end of that episode at the hospital. I remember the bro, the stopping short. I remember Festivus. I mean, he was just, he was really, really great on that show. And I didn't really watch King of Queens, but I guess he was a regular character. You know, if Leah Remini and Kevin James were one and two, he was the next. He was the first peripheral character that they had, and that was...
Well, your laughs per scene or whatever, I mean, he's the highest on Seinfeld. I mean, I think every scene he was in, he was great.
Yeah, no, he was that. But, I mean, he also had, you know, 50 years of making people laugh under his belt by the time he got on there. So, and he also, I mean, look at what even his offsprings are hilarious. So, yeah, he's...
He came from the stand-up world, so you know Seinfeld, who's all about that comic timing, and that was one of the great parts of the success of that show. He loved having somebody like that on the show who could do that, too.
Well, hell of a career, Mr. Jerry Stiller. Well done, sir. All right, guys, good episode. We'll be back next week. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.